Hello. So before I begin this podcast, I'd like to reemphasize the fact that PhysioMentalist is here to help you. As a physiotherapist student and as a young physiotherapist, feel free to reach out to us. Hello, welcome. Have you ever wondered why companies that sell abs stimulators, there's this machine you just wear on your abs, stimulate your abs, and it actually works, gives people abs by just stimulating? Have you ever wondered how that works? It will work. It will work, and this is why. It is important for us to understand the difference between a type 1 and a type 2 muscle fiber. The type 1 being the slow twitch ones, they are smaller. The type 2 are the fast twitch ones, they are bigger and much stronger. But they have low mitochondrial density, so they are mainly used during power moves, like you want to do something quick and that requires strength, while the other type 1 is used in aerobic situations. So that's just basically the difference between the two. And you should also know that when we talk about muscle bulk, you want to bulk up your muscle, you should think type 2. You want to talk about improving your increasing your metabolic resistance, increasing your oxidative capacity. You want to get a marathoner, you should think type 1. Marathon runner, you should think type 1 muscle fiber. So when we contract, normally when we contract, what do we do? There is a recruitment pattern the body follows. The recruitment pattern is, it's the nerve input coming from the brain stimulates the easily stimulatable encode nerves first, and these are the ones, the smaller neurons, they are the ones that serve the type 1 muscle fiber. So when, as the neural input is coming from the brain, coming to contract the muscle, it contracts the type 1 first, normally, and then the type 2. That is how the body works. So you want to pick up something, majorly your body is using the type 1 muscle fibers. But when you need to carry something heavier, more input, more neural input is coming from the brain, the body uses the type 1, then the type 2 muscle in the particular contracting bed. So what happens when you stimulate? The opposite happens. During stimulation, that's stimulation from an external source, the type 2 gets stimulated first. The bulky ones get stimulated first. And that is why stimulating a muscle leads to more bulkiness than the normal contraction that does. However, though, in a normal contraction, with resistance would lead to more bulk than stimulating. And that's not the focus here. We can always go to that some other day. But the most important thing to pick from that is that stimulating a muscle increases the bulk of the muscle. But why don't we stimulate? Why don't we just keep stimulating when we have patients on bed rest? And why do we advise that once you see a flicker of contraction, stop stimulating and encourage self-contraction? This is the reason. When we stimulate, you stimulate a particular group of muscle, just one group of muscle. But functionally, about six group of muscles work synergistically to produce a movement, any movement. The agonist works, the antagonist works, the neutralizer works, the fixator works, the stabilizers work, the I think I'm missing one out. Yeah, I think that is all. They all work during any movement. So stimulation wouldn't stimulate the other five groups. It only stimulates the agonist. Let's take elbow flexion, for example, which always stimulate the brachialis muscle to stimulate to cause elbow flexion, but it won't facilitate the movement pattern functionally. Because functionally, what we need is synergistic contraction of both the agonist concentrically, the antagonist eccentrically, the neutralizer, the fixator, stabilizer, and all of that. So that is why we encourage self-contraction, because it facilitates synergistic contraction, and that greatly improves patient movement pattern more than just stimulating. But you're just trying to build bulk, you're not trying to improve movement pattern or anything. Why not keep stimulating? So yeah, that's the explanation.